Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. What does that mean? Open the eyes of my heart. You see, each one of us has a desire to love. But there is a desire that God has for each one of us to see Him in the way that He sees us, with such a great love. It's just like Crystal was saying, God, help us to see, help us to remember what it was like when we first came to see you. And I love that song, open the eyes of my heart, God, because I want to see you. I was reading a book by Reed's brother, Jeff Pratt. Some of you may have read it. It's called The Homeward Call. I think part of his small group, you might have went through some of that. But I was reading through that book this week, and there was a story he told about how he came to know Jesus. And as you know, the Pratts, they were brought up in Mormonism, and they were brought up in a different religion than what they are in now. And Jeff is much older than Reed, so he was very much involved in the Mormon church, and he was seeking after God. And he says in his book, he said, one night I prayed a very dangerous prayer. He said, God, show me my heart so I can see yours. And he said that night that he had a dream that was just so real and so vivid to him. But he dreamed that as he was lying on his bed and he was in his room, that the door opened up and rivers of black started flooding his room. He could see that these rivers was his past sins, all of his iniquities, everything that he had done bad in his life. And it just kept filling up his room until it started consuming him. And when he felt like it was about to take complete control of him, he remembered something that his dad said. And his dad said, whenever you're in trouble, whenever you're in times of need, call on the name of God. And he will help you. And Jeff said that he did just that. He said, God, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my failures. God, I want to serve you. I need your help. And he says it was at that moment where he felt himself being lifted out of the black rivers in his room. He said he's never felt more free as he did in that moment as he was lifted up out of his sin. But he said he came to realize that he was standing on somebody's shoulders. And he looked down and he saw this person standing in the river in pain with his head going back and forth as he was taking in all of Jeff's iniquities. And Jeff was thinking, I can't allow this man to do that. But he said, I can't get back down in my self-made hell. And as he continued to look down, he said, out of that river was an outstretched, nail-scarred hand. And he said it was at that moment that he knew it was Jesus Christ. And Jesus told him, he said, Jeff, I love you and I want to be your friend. Jeff said it was from that moment that his life was never the same because he had given it to Christ, because he came to realize what it is that Christ has done for us. He came to realize that there was, I hope you don't have any germs, Crystal, because I'm going to drink your water. He came to realize that there was a turning point in his life that he had to come to realize for himself in order for him to find a relationship with Christ. I can tell you my own story of when I was seeking after God, and I was seeking after God's will for my life and what it is that God wanted me to do. And I was on the back roads in Wyoming, because in the occupation that I had there, as well as what I have here, I'm required to travel and go visit the different offices that I have. And I was on the back roads in Wyoming. And if you've ever been to Wyoming, you'll know that it's scarcely populated, so there's not a lot of people around. But I was seeking after God, and some of my greatest prayer times is when I'm driving. So if you see me coming your way, you better get out of my way, because I might be praying and not really paying that much attention to the road. But on this day, I was driving in Wyoming, and I was praying, God, show me your will. Show me what it is that you'll have me do. Because see, this is something that I struggled with as a kid. Because my dad was a preacher, my uncle was a preacher, my grandpa was a preacher. It seemed like everybody I knew was a preacher, so it seemed like, well, everybody else is a preacher, so that's what I need to do, is be a preacher as well. And I struggled with that, thinking, is this really something God wants me to do, or is this something that I'm getting into because I feel like it's what I'm supposed to do? Thank you. And as I was driving around on the back roads, I saw a spot where there was a stream by the road, and I pulled over to the side. I got out of my car, and if anybody would have drove by as they seen me at this spot, they would have thought I was crazy. But at that moment, I did not care, because I was seeking after God. But I stood there by that stream in this beautiful place, and I lifted up my hands and I said, God, I must know your will for my life. At that moment, I did not get an answer. Got back in my car. Drove not 100 feet down the road. I had to stop because there were sheep everywhere. They had gotten out of the pasture and was completely blocking the road. And my first thought was, oh goodness, I'm going to be here for a while. But then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, do you love me? He said, then feed my sheep. He said it again, do you love me? Then shepherd my sheep. Do you love me? Then feed my sheep. And if you love me, follow me. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. God is asking you that same question. Do you love me? And I'm going to be reading from that same text that the Holy Spirit revealed to me during that time when he said, this is what I want you to do. What I want you to do is what I want everybody else to do. Stop thinking, stop putting everything it is that I have for you in a box. We're all called to be preachers. We're all called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what Jesus is asking is, do you love me? If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to John chapter 21. Be reading from John 21, starting at verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I'll tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Let's pray over the reading of the word this morning. Holy Spirit, we need you this morning, God, to speak to us. We pray, Lord, that you open the eyes of our heart to truly see you, so that we may answer when you ask, "Do you love me?" And we can answer honestly and say, "Yes, Lord," with all of our heart. I pray as I bring your word this morning that you anoint these lips, you anoint this tongue. Not my thoughts, but your thoughts, not my words, but yours. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. We see in this text in John that Jesus is coming to Peter, and this is the third time that they see Jesus after the resurrection. And this is the moment of Peter's reinstatement. And Jesus asked one simple question in order to reinstate Peter. "Do you love me?" And he asked him not only one time, but he asked him three times. He said, "Peter, do you love me?" Because Jesus wanted to make sure before Peter began this journey with Christ that he loved him. That's what Jesus asked each and every one of us here today. He is saying, "Do you love me?" Because if you do love me, then there is a consequence for you. There is a sacrifice that you have to make. Oh, we don't talk about that much because living for Christ is super easy, right? It's not. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but when I'm preaching the gospel, it can't be bad news because it's the good news, right? Amen? Because it's not always easy. But God says, if you truly love me, then trust me. Because this world is not our own. There is another place that we're going to, and he's asking Peter, "Do you love me?" And he's asking Peter to prepare him for what it is that he's about to go through. Because you have to be willing to follow Jesus wherever it may be that he says that he needs you to go. And he asks, "Do you love me?" Peter said, "Yes." And Jesus said, "Then follow me." Let's look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" You see, how much you love determines how much you give. And Jesus is saying, if you really love me, then you must be willing to give me all of you. Because Jesus does not want just bits and pieces, because I'm telling you, he is jealous of our love. And he wants all of our love. When you truly love something, You protect it. You cherish it. You will do whatever it takes of yourself for it. And then Jesus says, decide if you can follow me. Luke 14, verse 25, in the English Standard Version says this. Many people were traveling with Jesus. He said to them, if you come to me but will not leave your family, you cannot be my follower. You must love me more than your father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, even more than your own life. Whoever will not carry the cross that is given to them when they follow me cannot be my follower. That's a whole lot of love. And Jesus is saying, decide if your love for me is great enough. Because there are going to be points in all of our lives that it's necessary to walk away from people who are barriers in drawing closer to Jesus. Somebody say amen. But how do we come to love that much? How do we come to a place where we can honestly answer? When Jesus says, do you love me? And we can say, yes, beyond the shadow of a doubt. Turn with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. This is Paul writing to Ephesus, and he says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery. Everybody say mystery. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation. As I have already written briefly, in reading this then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery. Everybody say mystery. The mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery, everybody say mystery. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace, given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery. Everybody say mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. Paul begins this letter to Ephesus in chapter 3 and talking about the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of truth. Paul mentions this mystery 21 times throughout his epistles. You see, those in the Old Testament, they received prophecies and teachings of what was to come, but they had no clue on what that looked like. It was a mystery to them. It was 400 years from the Old Testament to the New Testament. 400 years from Malachi to Matthew. That's a long time to be in mystery of what something's going to look like. And I only bring this up because I want you to understand, I want us to comprehend this morning that what they saw as a mystery in the Old Testament is no longer a mystery to us, because that mystery has been made known. Paul is saying the mystery of God is God's plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. And we have the gift of knowing that mystery because God reveals it to us. Notice I said God reveals it. Because Paul is telling Ephesus that he knows the mystery. And he is explaining this to the Ephesians. He's saying, I know this mystery and I've got to tell you about it, but they will not be able to grasp it for themselves until they come to understand for themselves what that mystery is. Of course, it takes a person, because the Bible says, without a preacher, how will they know? It takes somebody putting that in there, but it's only the Holy Spirit that can reveal what that mystery is. Just like Jeff said in his dream when he said, God, I want to know your heart. Show me my heart. It wasn't until he said that and came to realize that when he gave himself up to God and said, I must know you. That's when the mystery of Jesus Christ and our salvation was revealed. You can have a head knowledge of this mystery. You can read it for yourself. But you won't believe what it is that you're hearing or what you're reading unless the Holy Spirit does a work in you and you give of yourself. I was talking with my boys, Grayson and Hunter, recently. When I say talking, they would probably say lecture. But I was talking to them and talking to them about responsibilities and what it is that they need to do. And just like any good Christian does, we always bring everything back to the Bible. And I began to question them, and I said, guys, what is it that makes us do things that we don't want to do? And of course they answered, well, it's sin. I said, well, what is sin? And they started giving me examples of what sin is. I said, yeah, but Why do we sin? So I have a treat for you this morning. And reluctantly as he was, he finally admitted or said that he would agree to do it. So Grayson's going to come up here. Come on, buddy. So I had asked him about this, and then I turned to Grayson because I know this young man knows the Bible. So I asked him, I said, Grayson, then tell me the story of Adam and Eve. And he began to tell me the story, and he gave me a synopsis of Adam and Eve and probably did a better job than I ever could. So I wanted him to share that with you this morning. Go ahead. The story of Adam and Eve.
Okay. So... It began when God made the world and decided that he loved it so much, he wanted to make little, or not little people, but creatures that looked like him so that he could love them and they could worship him as a father. So he made Adam out of dust, and he gave him the whole Garden of Eden to himself, And he could eat anything, and he could do whatever he wanted, except eat from the knowledge of good and evil, the tree. And God realized that he started getting lonely. So at night, God took one of Adam's ribs and made Eve. So they started getting along all right, and they had good times. But then Eve went on her own, and a little lizard, the devil shaped as a lizard, came up to her and started persuading her to eat from the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And he was saying, you're going to be just like God if you eat it. He'll open your eyes. He'll open your eyes, and you can finally be like him. So she ate it, and then she gave it to her husband, Adam. And then they realized that they were naked. So in fear, they hid from God in a bush. And knowing that what they did, God came down pretending he didn't know, like a lot of parents do. And
I'll do the jokes around here.
And then he said, Adam and Eve, where have you been? So they come out and said, we were hiding from you because we were scared that you would not love us anymore, that we disobeyed you. And God was disappointed and mad at them for disobeying him from eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and punished them by kicking them out of the Garden of Eden, and also punished the devil as the lizard by cutting off its arms and legs so it would swerve on its stomach. But he still loved them, so he still gave them clothes and enough materials to make their own lives possible and a family.
Was that not good? Thank you very much, buddy. But the point I'm trying to make is, as he was telling me that story, and they couldn't give me the right answer, but it's as he was telling me that story, you saw a light bulb go off in his head. And he goes, oh yeah, well, that's where sin came from. I said, exactly. We live in a world that is full of sin, and this is why we do the things that we don't want to do, that is not pleasing to God. And the point that I'm bringing back to the sermon is when we're talking about this mystery, is that people can have a head knowledge of exactly what is right, but until the Holy Spirit begins to reveal that in us, we will never understand that mystery. But we today have that pleasure of knowing that mystery has been made known. And guys, don't get me wrong. Please don't take what I'm saying this morning as an offense, because I know that I'm around brothers and sisters that knows exactly what it is that I'm talking about. But it's just like Crystal Weaver said this morning, there needs to be times in our life when we go back to that very same time when we first fell in love with Jesus. We first found our love for God, and we need to come back to that place again and understand what it is that Jesus requires of us. We are able to have the love that Jesus requires of us because we understand the mystery that has been revealed. We understand that God gave his only Son for us to stand in our place, to take on the iniquities that we have. And because he did, we can live a life in boldly approaching God, boldly going out into the world and preaching the good news, helping others to understand this mystery of the gospel. The reason why I think the sermon is so important and should be preached at least once a month is because, friends, Jesus is coming back. The Bible says that there's coming a time when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And we can't, guys, I cannot tell you
Doug and Crystal did not know my sermon this morning, but they practically preached it every time they opened their mouth. That is God saying, my beloved, my children, I need you to understand this. And I'm asking you this morning, do you love me? As the worship team comes, Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. I'm going to say it again. Jesus is coming back. We don't hear that enough. Jesus is coming back. There is coming a time when there is not going to be a chance for us to get right with God. There is coming a time when judgment will fall upon this earth. And if we're not right with God, if we're not in the place where we can pick up our cross and follow God and say, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, I love you because I know how much you love me. And you don't have to, don't even nod your head when I ask you this question this morning. But sometimes, you know, sometimes the best times that I have when I preach, when God preaches through me, at me. And that's what this is for me this morning. Because I'll be completely honest with you, the one thing that I struggle with is I'll go through stages of, wow, I understand how much God really loves me. I understand that God is so proud of me, but then there's other times when I feel like God's got to be so disappointed. God's got to be so mad at me, and then I feel like I've got to work my way back up to receive God's love. So I have to constantly remind myself, God's crazy about me. God's crazy about you. He is so happy that you are here this morning, that you are hearing His word, that you are here this morning and you are receiving what it is that He wanted you to hear, because I guarantee you, you are not here by accident. You are here this morning because you needed to hear exactly what it is that God said. God is love. Let us sing.